By the unmistakable voice of Ella Fitzgerald, piano and other music by Oscar Peterson and his trio. This is titled Airmail Special, and it shows off the full range of Ella Fitzgerald's voice, but also her, how she can, in a moment, put an entirely different spin on what you consider to be a regular song. This is from a 1961 telecast that they both did for Canadian television. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And yes, as promised, we're talking some more about the coronavirus and how it is shaping our lives, our everyday reality now. President Trump, of course, knowing all things, being the wisest person on the planet, and how to run a country and how to run everything in the country, took to the airwaves to lay out a plan of action for containing the coronavirus. Not impressed at all, and not surprised that I'm not impressed. I don't know what it would take for the Congress in this country to take the necessary action. The man is a danger, an absolute danger, not only to the United States, but as we have seen on several occasions, because he believes himself to be the ruler of the planet. He is doing and saying and enacting things that actually are not helping at all, and that only confirm how mad he is, how absolutely mad this president is, and that people are allowing it. Some, one or two or three people are standing up and insisting that the reality that he is articulating is not, in fact, the reality at all that people are experiencing and what will happen. He keeps pushing the country and other parts of the world closer to the brink with his recklessness, his stunted intellect, and his desire to rule everything and everyone. He's not qualified. It's so clear. Months have gone by with this country not making a single bit of progress toward a cogent policy or cogent policies that will directly address the reality that we are facing. And whether we want to admit it or not, we too have just, perhaps because we're just dazed by this, we've never seen something this bizarre. And this guy just keeps, you know, like Mr. Magoo, causing mayhem and havoc all over the place and not seeing a thing. So we're going to talk from a personal perspective today, how you see this global disaster, and how is it impacting your life? How do you see it impacting not just your life, but everybody's life? And, you know, I don't want you to get all preachy. I want you to really understand the mission here today. We don't care whether he agrees or not. I dismissed Trump from my mind a long time ago. Unfortunately, he just won't go away. And members of Congress, in the Senate, in the House, they are aiding and abetting a person who should be in deep psychological treatment. And they are aiding and abetting the mismanagement of this country. Oh, they have all kinds of reasons, all kinds of explanations about the limitations they face. Some things just can't be done, or if they're going to be done, it requires 400 other new rules to be observed, and it will take some time. Well, ask yourself, can we afford to take our time? We have a president who is out of control. People are now seeing it. People who were not given to openly criticizing the president are now doing so because they understand the enormity of the problem and the consequences of having an out-of-control president and an out-of-control administration enacting the wishes of an out-of-control president. People literally are dying now, and he still refuses to take advice. He still refuses to listen to people, experts. And all the more significant because he's a germaphobe. He hates germs. This is one big germy problem that we have in our hands. He can't fix it. He's terrified. He has no ideas. All of his advisors have no ideas. And they're hoping just to bide time. And that it doesn't get any worse. It can't get any worse. People are dying. How much worse could it get? More people are dying? So that's where we're going today. I want us to make the effort to put ourselves in the position of clinically assessing the situation. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We start out with Henry from Chicago. Hello, Henry.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Oh, well, you know, we're in this together.
Yeah, I know. Well, fortunately, I have not come in contact with anybody who has the what they officially call COVID-19 virus, not that I know of, at least. But it has affected my family in some ways. My daughter's class trip has been canceled because of it. So that's probably the major thing that, you know, it probably has affected our family. She was really looking forward to the trip, but unfortunately, circumstances beyond our control had the trip canceled. But, you know, the question I always ask is, could have this been prevented? And this is where the politics of this whole pandemic stem from, because we've had reports of warnings as early as November of last year about this. Now, I went back and said, so what was the major news story going on in November of last year that drowned it? And it was the impeachment. While everybody was focusing on the impeachment, nobody, or I would say that the important people in our government, was not listening to the warnings of, you know, this virus. And so I feel like if they would have got an upper leg on this, we wouldn't have been going through all of this, you know, all of this last minute, you know, changes and cancellations and things like this, because, you know, stuff like this is possible. We have people who are paid to watch things like this. And we have experts and scientists who, you know, give us the warning that this could be a problem. Let's start setting up, you know, infrastructures right now so we won't have to go through this and the stock market taking its toll. So I always feel like this could have been a lot less worse than what it is now if the early warning signs would have been, you know, followed.
Well, I agree, obviously. I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but we have a president who is mentally ill. And he has been directing the pace at which the government responds at almost every level. I mean, when you don't have enough masks, I mean, a simple thing like that, you're not prepared. You're prepared to wage war and you're prepared to fight other people. This is where you see the caliber of leadership we have in the chief of state.
Oh yeah. I mean, he doesn't seem like he took it seriously until last night.
And even so, not completely. You know, he's reacting to bits here, and he's reacting to the bits that call his attention to what he has to do for better press. Has nothing to do with a problem, a major problem that is now global.
Yeah, yes, because his concern is the stock market. It's not the people who have died from this virus. It's the stock market. He could probably care less about the people who died, because I'm willing to bet you if the stock market didn't take a plunge, he would not be taking this serious at all.
No, because his wealthy pals are on his behind. Do something with the stock market. Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one priority. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Henry, for calling in and getting us started today. Jason from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Oh, how are you doing, Yoshis?
Okay, how are you?
Am I coming in clear? I just want to make sure. I was told to turn my radio down.
Yes.
Oh, I was actually chastised to turn my radio down, by the way.
Well, you should know that. If you call in regularly, you should know that the reverb gives the engineer a lot of unnecessary work to do.
It totally does. And This is when you have one of those Bluetooth devices. But let's cut to the chase for a minute. I believe your topic of discourse is the fiend, the notorious one at hand, Mr. Orange himself, and his failure to be a true a competent leader. This is nothing more than a result of many decades, perhaps centuries, of conditioning of pretty much Caucasian white male testosterone driven nonsense throughout the centuries, and he is just simply the culmination of that, where it's no one has bared it to heel, no one has bared it any scrutiny, no one has bared it to any high regard for of understanding of their the pathologies and the negative non-productive side of a culture where it's it's very male driven to begin with. So you have that patriarchal society mixed in with the desire for money and causing havoc to profit from disaster profiteers. So Donald Trump is only a culmination of many. In fact, he reminds me of Constantine.
But you know what? Let me interrupt you here. We're not interested. I hate to tell you this. We're not interested in, quote, understanding Donald Trump. I think we have a good idea. We're interested in what is to be the response, not just to Donald Trump, but his administration and the situation we find ourselves in. It doesn't take an expert or professional to understand that we are being held. This country has been stuck up and held hostage by a person who needs deep, like about 30 years of therapy. The question is, now that we see there's no way to deny what he has caused, which is cataclysmic for most of the nations that he has involved himself with, what is to be done now? Do we still continue pretending that this president is the right leader at the right time to do the right job? That was a question.
Of many cancers. He's only one cancer of many cancers. You can't just simply remove him or try to have a response against him as is being the executor or chief executor of this, whatever you want to call it, nation. It is a corporation, stocks are down, and they prop them up. It's a cancer that's pervasive throughout the whole industry,
yes,
private sector.
Yes, but you're going back to explaining. Let's just operate with the premise, we get it. Now, what do we do?
If there was any muscle, there would be a Surgeon General and of the United States government, and the Surgeon General will deem him and those physicians deem Donald Trump incompetent to have office. That, of course, needs somewhat of a backbone or a spine or the courage to do so. That has not been done. And on the grassroots level, you have your LGBT community, you have your African American community, you have your Latino Asian community, all really not galvanized collectively together. You have your white community as well, who don't think Donald Trump and don't think like 61 million people voted for him in 2016. They're not really in synergy to do any type of response or effective response, Utrice. You know this, and your listening audience knows this as well.
I would disagree with that. They are working now at it, late, of course, but there's something happening. I just want to get more definitive about it.
I would say that it would have to take a grassroots effort to push for a immediate incompetency or competency test. Well, we don't really need a competency test. He's actually delivering total incompetency. It would have to take a grassroots effort of these demographics that I just laid out on a grassroots level and a state level and a federal level to push for his complete removal out of office and those who follow him. But that's not happening.
No, it's not. Thank you very much, Jason, for calling in and contributing. Susan from Westchester, you're on the air.
Hi, Eugene.
What do we do now?
I thought we were supposed to be talking about some different things, but it always seems to get back to Donald Trump and his mental capacity, and it really has to stop. The negativity has to stop. This is a time where there's no political party should be arguing about anything. This is a serious crisis. I do think to an extent it's a little overblown. I think what people need to do is take personal responsibility and get back to the grassroots of society, which is sacrifice, helping one another, loving one another, and looking out for each other and neighbors. And it's personal responsibility. Get your supplies, get things in order. If we were to shut down this country for 2 or 3 weeks, which is probably the only thing that really would kind of stop it, but I don't even know if that would truly work, people would have a fit. This president can't do anything right. I am in the medical field, so I your negative rhetoric against this president, it really has to stop. It shows your irresponsibility for what you say about his mental capacity. I'm in the psychiatric
ward. I'm not the only one. I said it early. And you know who said it after I said it? The National Association of Psychiatrists and Psychologists.
Not impressed with them. Not impressed with them and what they do for people, because they need therapy people, not these over-prescribing medications that don't do anything for most of the majority of the people.
They called attention. I didn't prescribe anything. They just called attention to the fact that he was a danger.
Okay, let's get off that topic because you're very far off from that. But it's because it becomes a political thing.
I'm telling you, so what do? You just, close the door and stay in an office until this all blows over? And all of this havoc is created literally on a daily basis. It's getting worse and worse and worse. You ask anybody who has been paying attention to how we measure our daily lives in the United States, and they'll tell you, this is a major problem. This is a coronavirus among the citizens. The fact that we have a president who's out of control and doing the wrong things and not listening to people and causing incredible damage, including with our allies and our neighbors.
What do you do? Well, I don't believe that he's doing the wrong thing. He is listening to his specialists. If you listen every day, they have a briefing. He is listening to his specialists. And when you imply that he's not, I think it's irresponsible on your part, because he is doing what the specialists are saying to do. Whether you agree with him or not, he is doing what he's letting the specialists run it, and he's taking their advice. And for you to imply that is irresponsible. There is no magic little pill. There is nothing that we're going to get people to comply to 100%. There isn't any magic little thing. The globalization of the world.
That you're missing. How do you run a country by yourself? How do you propose that is a right approach?
But he's not running the country by himself. We're in this predicament because of globalization. We're relying on China for medication, China for information. We need to put America first, manufacture here, do everything here. When this is over, I hope that people...
About what we need to do? You're so clear about what we need to do, but it hasn't been done. We don't even have enough masks for people who are sick.
In this passing of the $8.3 billion behind closed doors, the Democrats took out the ability that 3M can't be sued for using these other masks that they said can be used for the coronavirus. So the Dems play a lot of games that other channels won't cover because it doesn't suit their agenda. So 3M asked, can they not be sued so they can get all these masks out to health professionals to help them on the front line because it helps prevent corona?
Because here's the thing. They're acting in a situation of great distress. There has to be a solution. There is no solution.
So why do you think we don't have
to do is negotiate something that would get some modicum of protection out there, and the program to help people protect themselves could at least start. You have you're devoting all kinds of resources to things that are not impacting us daily. You're making all kinds of wrong decisions, and you're doing this unilaterally.
I don't understand what you're referring to.
He hasn't called a meeting of the heads of committees and asked them what do you think we ought to do. He's not including the medical experts. He's not talking to them.
How could you say that when he has meetings every day with NIH, the Dr. Fauci? They just had two other women came in. I don't know how you could say that.
That, in fact, was a fallback position. When Dr. Fauci wanted to talk, he didn't have any reason, meaning Trump had no reason to talk to anybody.
Dr. Fauci said he was never kept from speaking. He actually, on national television, said that.
Wow.
We
can't have it both ways. When this president is running an isolationist administration, when he believes that he knows all things and he can go ahead with making decisions that he has no expertise in, he is not a person given to asking for advice. He's not a person who brings people together to hammer out a plan. It's a direct insult to him, because everybody should recognize he is the one true leader of the earth.
You know what? Can I speak for a minute, Beatrice?
Sure.
I feel that you, when you speak like that, it's negative rhetoric, and you're implying things that are just not true, because I watch all these things, and he is looking to the professionals for the advice. To say this stuff,
because
you're missing an opportunity.
Everything has fallen apart, and he needs to pull his butt out of the fire right now. So now, yes, it wouldn't be a bad idea to call people in and talk rationally in a proactive way, always reacting. He has not done one thing important on a proactive basis.
Closing the borders to China and flights in from China was proactive, and people negatively bashed him for it. He can't do anything right in your eyes, but you're missing an opportunity to bring a positive to a situation. Instead, you just want to get on the Trump train and be negative. It's not right. You're doing a disservice to your listeners because they're not listening to the right
avenue. No, but you're doing a disservice to me. As if to say, I lack the ability to understand and analyze what is happening and to have an opinion about it. Have you heard me talk about it this way? No, you sit back, you look, and you observe.
You're grossly misinformed. You're grossly misinformed. I come from the medical field. There's no magic pill. He's doing everything he could under professional advice, and you discount that, and you twist the facts, and you imply things that you know what's going on in his brain and why his thought process is. That's irresponsible on your part. You're supposed to be a professional.
That's your opinion. That is your opinion.
Yeah, but your opinion is so negative and filled with
people. It is not your opinion. You do not know what I'm thinking. You know what I have said. You have never engaged in a discussion with me.
I listen to you on a regular basis. What you just said before is what you're thinking is your opinion. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saying it. So instead of really being fully informed, you're not.
Today, and I said it at the beginning of the show, didn't I? What is your analysis? You're giving me your analysis as if it is the analysis. I'm asking everybody, what is your analysis as to the situation we're in?
My analysis is that they're not trying to play catch up. They're trying to head it off. There's only so much you can do. People would have a fit. If he instituted certain things that really should have been instituted prior to this, people would have a fit and call him a dictator and all this other stuff. The guy can't win.
Wrong. The first thing a leader would have done was to push for a world conference of leaders and to organize around other leaders what they are experiencing. What do they think? That's what a leader does.
He doesn't have to do that. He has the World Health Organization and the CDC.
That's the American way. The American way is you do things my way and let China do its thing their way. That is not leadership. When you are a leader, you find solutions within your circle of leadership. You confer with people. You call an immediate conference. You discuss things. You talk to the people at the UN. He's not into that. He knows everything. And he's always right.
Leaders lead. Sometimes when I'm the leader in my family and other situations, I can't take in everything that everybody says. Sometimes you got to put your big boy pants on and make a decision.
No, it's not about big boy pants. It's about a big boy brain.
No, it's just too negative.
It's about what you do as a leader. We didn't have it when he was elected. We don't have it now. And you see the whole thing with Wall Street collapsing.
That's
the same cause. You're not talking to people. You're not talking to the world leadership. You're not moving in concert with anybody. And people are dying because of it. And you still believe you're doing it right. People in his own administration are confirming that they haven't been consulted. They haven't been talked to. And if they have been talked to, it is out of desperation. Because he has screwed everything up to such a degree that they literally have to start from scratch. Where is the money for masks?
Ask the Democrats who are holding up 3M from making them.
What I'm saying is, when you are a leader, there is no such thing as an excuse. Masks are needed, get the masks. And get them by tomorrow. That's what you do as a leader.
Yeah, but if all the masks weren't being made in China, the majority of them, maybe we could do that. It's easier said than done with this global world and the global economy. You have to stop being reasonable and stop being unreasonable and blaming everything on this man. It's ridiculous.
If you are a leader, you know who is producing vital products for your economy and your people. You're going to be a leader of the United States and tell me the bulk of manufacturing of necessary equipment is in China? Then something's wrong with you.
Then that was done under Obama. That
doesn't
was done
matter.
Under Obama,
who
not
does
under him.
Under?
He wants to bring everything back.
Oh,
that was done under Obama.
You're married to the idea that Donald Trump is doing his best. People need to give him a break. I am under the impression I'm working on a whole different plane. My different plane is people are dying. And this was not something that happened yesterday. He saw it coming. They saw it coming. They rang the bell over and over. There's a problem. The same with the stock market. Is he listening? No.
No, I think he is listening and he's reacting. I'm immunocompromised. I'm in the medical field. I believe what he is doing is 100% correct.
You're not a nation's leader. You're in the medical field. I have a whole bunch of people in my family in the medical field. That doesn't do anything.
I know what's being done correctly, and I've been in these situations before. I was on the front lines when AIDS first came out. It's trial and error, and somebody has to be a leader. And when you're a leader, you take the employer of AIDS.
That is,
and you make decisions.
5 years ago, it has nothing to do with what's happening now.
Yes, it was. It was a global crisis. The same thing.
No, you see, this is a trouble. It is not the same thing. It is not the same disease. It is not the same virus. It is not spreading the same way. It has very little literature developed around it. It's not the beneficiary of research. It's a lot. It's not the same thing.
So what do you want to do? Do you want him to close down everything? I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but you would have a problem. No matter what he says, you'll have a problem with it. So let's work together and be positive, not negative. Your negative rhetoric is
negative. I'm talking about realistic. I'm not either negative or positive. I'm talking about dealing with reality. And he can't deal with it. He's never been able to deal with it, not even from day one. Thanks for calling in. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
You're funny. I'm calm, and I'm cool, and I'm collected. How does that stand for an answer?
That's good. You can't let the ignorant frustrate you. I mean, everybody knows this is a global crisis, and when there is a global crisis, you can look throughout history, from World War II to Jonas Salk and the virus and the polio vaccine. You get a scientific community together as a leader. You consolidate the scientific community. You address the issues. And you look globally. You look to different countries. You look for inspiration, and you look for unification to handle a disease such as this. And these are going to be more prevalent because we live in a world where you can be somewhere in an hour, where everything is connected. We're a global community, like it or not, whether you want to deal with it or not. And this man has never, not ever, and will never be equipped to handle anything of this magnitude or any type of crisis because he shouldn't be in office in the first place. That being said, this is a clear indication for me for national health care, because if we had a national health care system, when people get sick, they don't try to fight to go to work. They don't try to fight just because they can't get medication. They go see a doctor. They go get diagnosed, and then we could deal with these things. We could deal with these things succinctly and precisely. Now everybody's trying to price gouge, mask. Testing for this disease is $3,000 here, $1,000 there. Worrying about the stock market. Listen, everybody should have the right to have good health care, and everybody should have the right to be healthy. And if that's instituted, if we can get anything out of this, it's that to move to have national free health care for everyone in this country. That'll be a shining point in this whole hot mess.
But in the meantime, time is going by. People are still dying. People are still falling sick. And the numbers keep climbing. Should be done?
Well, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I mean, good personal hygiene. I mean, you know, you hear it 100 times. Wash your hands. Keep your hands out of your face. You know, protect yourself on a personal level, on a community level. I mean, we got to get these local politicians to, first of all, free testing. Everybody who needs to be tested or wants to get tested should have free access to testing. As far as the hand sanitizers, as far as all of those sundry items, they should be price regulated and controlled. You know, so nobody can gouge our prices, so shelves can't be bare, and we can't have this profiteering off of human misery, this vulture capitalism. Those things could be instituted at a local level. De Blasio's trying to do it. Cuomo's trying to do it. I don't agree with making prisoners having to create the hand sanitizer because, quite frankly, the prisoners that are making the hand sanitizer don't have access to it in the prison because you're not allowed to have hand sanitizer or those types of chemicals when you're an inmate. So that's something to take a look at. I mean, a friend of mine said, be strong and pay close attention. This guy pay close attention to what's going on with this crisis and how it's being handled by this political structure and how better we can make it. But the bottom line is we got to get some type of national free health care for everybody so people have to go to work when they're sick.
Okay. Did you just sneeze? Ed?
Hello? Yeah.
Did you just Hello? Sneeze? Well, thank you, and Gesundheit. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing today. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing?
Just looking in and thinking about 42nd Street, you know, the Times Square area where you see all these tourists. And I'm a little bit concerned because, like Ed said, we don't have a national health care. And if we had a national health care in this country, at least people will be able to go to the doctor. We don't worry about copayment, a bill coming later. And another thing is because they practice prevention. And that is how those people in those other countries are able to keep themselves healthy and also known what is wrong with them. Look what is happening in New York right now. It's so many people. I haven't heard the first person say, I have been tested. So how do we know that in New York City, we don't gonna get this, especially that we live on top of each other. We breathing on the subway, the buses. So right now, I'm concerned. I'm very, very concerned. And that woman who just called you is you know what she said in her during her conversation to you? She actually said that you're very irresponsible. But you know what? I'm just thinking about what she was saying. Because one of the things that she said pretty much was, it's personal responsibility. You pull yourself by your bootstrap. So I would like for you to explain that to me, because if somebody doesn't have insurance and you can't go to the doctor and you're telling me about, you're telling me that I have to be responsible. Yes, the only thing that we could be responsible for is washing our hands and keeping our hands clean. But if somebody has this and they sneeze and you don't even know,
Little,
our conversation was so hot it melted the phone lines. So, but we're back on the air. 888-874-4888. And we continue our discussion. It's going to get a little hot, but we are facing the reality that we're in. And I have no obligation to be nice. What is happening is not nice. And it continues the sad and sorry saga of this president being allowed to do whatever it is he pleases, and people are acting like there's no way to control him, no way to control his decisions, and all we have to do is to just sit and pray. No, I'm angry. Edna from Brooklyn, are you on the air? Okay. Well, we'll see how everybody's... We're hoping that if you had called before and you didn't get on... Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Hello, Willie. And, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, beloved, and my family, my beloved family. Listen,
You
just made a statement that you have no responsibility. You have no responsibility to be nice. I agree with you. Your responsibility is to help us to reclaim our brain. That you're doing an excellent job.
Well said.
And the entire PRN, because you know, I was just thinking, I was listening to that, and I was saying, wow, this is an awesome station. This is such an awesome station, because it's giving us the information that we need. You know,
But get back to the original topic. The original topic is, what should happen now?
You trees. I'm here still trying to learn from the master, all right? And that's a simple question.
That is.
It's a very simple question. And we should know the answer. It's very easy, simple. Okay, you love the bomb. All you talk about is your bombing and your big button. Well, let's bomb this. It's simple.
The coronavirus. What do you make of the president's reaction and the president's action around the coronavirus?
What president? First of all, you have to be very clear. If that's a president, well, I'm Superman. I do just like you, most people do, is just dismiss him. Because I can't see any reason for us to be looking to a mad man for leadership, unless, of course, we're madder than he is.
But here we have Congress, we have the House of Representatives and the Senate. What should they be doing at this time? What should they be... how should they be piloting this project right now of trying to head off a total disaster?
You trees, I'm going to say something, and I know you're going to disagree, and most people are going to disagree, but that's fine. That's your mind. That's what you think. But from my point of view, this has to happen, because if this did not happen, that would have made Minister Farrakhan a liar. He told us this a very long time ago, and he's been saying this for the 30 some odd years. I've been listening to him.
People have been telling us things from a very long time ago, but here we are, and we're in the position of that they warned us about. What I'm asking for specific response. Well, what should happen now, in your view?
I'm not qualified to speak on that. I really don't know. But I'm saying it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me because I'm studying this thing and what I'm seeing is it has to happen.
Okay.
It has to happen. Simple.
All righty. Thank you. Bill from Brooklyn, are you on the air? No. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hi, Eugene.
Hello.
Yes. I think when I look at what's going on, first thing that comes to my mind is what a tangled web we weave when we seek to deceive. And I think this coronavirus thing is a lot of misunderstanding going on and a lot of intrigue. We don't know if it's germ warfare. We don't know
Lincoln, I'm going to ask you to respond in a directed way. We don't want it to go wide. We want it to be narrow and focused. The question is, what should we do now?
Well, individually, all we can do is take heavy dosages of vitamin C, avoid eating sugar, juice every day, and I could actually offer some formulas. There's this formula, 6 ounces of spinach juice to 10 ounces carrot juice. It knocks out a cold.
But we're not going there. You have to listen to the question. We are in a crisis. And we're tackling one key aspect of the crisis, and that is the woeful response by the president and his administration. Time has been wasted.
Yeah, but time has been wasted because of the time also wasted on the impeachment. So we have to look at the whole picture.
I'm not asking why was time wasted. I'm asking, what do we know now or do now, knowing that, A, just like you said, time has been wasted. Okay, are we going to go over that? And does it stop us from the reality that time has been wasted? No. Time has been wasted. The president has taken a particular tact of leadership that has imperiled the situation even more. What happens now?
No, it's not just him alone. When this coronavirus started, you all were busy still talking about the impeachment, you included. And I'm not a Trump supporter, but you all don't want to take responsibility. You just want to just talk and try to spin it the way you want to hear it.
Wait a minute. You said something that is incorrect.
What is incorrect?
That while we were talking about the impeachment, in fact, it was known that this was a problem. No, that's incorrect. I would not have ignored a story this big and say, well, the impeachment is
the story.
You
didn't think that it was going to hit us this hard. Hello?
Yes, you're not making sense.
Yes. I am making sense, but you keep always wanting to hear what you want to hear, and you don't realize that. And because a lot of people keep parroting what you say, you feel empowered to keep doing that. But a lot of times you don't.
All right, I'm not quarreling. I don't like to quarrel. So I'm not quarreling.
I'm not quarreling either.
That's your view. You hold on to that view. We move on now to somebody who is able to answer the question. What do we do now? That's the question. If you can't answer the question, we just move on. You know, we have to understand something. I'm not here to quarrel with anybody. I don't like quarreling. Everybody who knows me knows I don't like it. But if you're calling really to engage in a discussion, presumably there would be different points of view. I'm up for that.
But I'm not going to allow you or anybody to just, you know, basically pick a point and stab me all the time. Because this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. Okay. All right. So where does that leave us with respect to an answer to the question? It leaves us nowhere with an answer to the question. So, okay, we'll just have to live with the fact that you couldn't answer the question today, or you didn't answer the question today, and we'll move on. On another day, maybe you'll have an answer to the question. And maybe that day, I'm actually asking the same question. But that brings us to the end of our program today. I want to thank you all for participating and expressing your point of view. It is very important that you express your view, but be, you know, don't cross the line. Don't cross the line. Understand the dynamic and respect it. All right. Thank you. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.